Our scripture lesson this evening is found in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there with me. Our attention will be upon, actually, chapter 7, verse 53, through chapter 8, verse 11. Text of scripture that is known to us as the woman caught in adultery. If you don't have a Bible with you, I invite you to take a pew Bible. I'd also like to invite you to stand now for the reading of God's word. They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. As they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground, but when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Lord, we hear these words, and we receive them as words to your church, to your bride, to your people here tonight. Lord, help us to know of your mercy, and help us to go and sin no more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. They have all gone away. Every one of them. Not one of them was left. Yet here I stand, holding this stone in my hand. It was quite the spectacle. There, Jesus was early in the morning, as he always did among the crowds gathered there on the Mount of Olives. He was teaching them. He was teaching about the kingdom of God. He said, "Unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever believes in the Son of Man may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that through the world, through him, the world might be saved. He said, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." There was one time when Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda. A man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there on the ground, he knew that he had been there for a long time, waiting to be healed. So Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Now the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm going in, another steps down before me." But just then, Jesus said to him the most astounding thing. He said, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed. He began to walk. Not everyone was happy to see him healed. You see, it was the Sabbath day, and the Jews, they were angry. They accused Jesus and said, "It is not lawful to heal on the Sabbath day." They wanted to kill him. But Jesus went away. He ducked out of there. And later, only later, did he find the man that he had healed and said to him something we didn't expect. "Look," he said, "you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Once Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee around the time of the Passover, the crowd was listening to his teaching long into the evening. It was well past supper time, and all the little ones were getting hungry and restless. And one little boy ran to Jesus. Everyone wondered what he was doing. He gave Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish. The people could see Jesus as he blessed the food and then started passing it around. The loaves just kept coming and coming. All ate until they were full. And they gathered enough leftovers to fill 12 baskets. Many wanted to make him king right there on the spot. But Jesus left the crowd. He went away again. Next day, the crowd found him. They were upset because he left them. They wanted more bread to eat. Jesus said, "You're not seeking me because you saw a sign from heaven. You're seeking me because you filled your stomach. Now you want more." And then Jesus said the most astounding thing. He said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." The Jews, they grumbled. They were angry. They were angry at Jesus when he said this. They were so angry. They wanted to kill him. They accused him of lying. "Who do you think you are?" they said. "We know you. We know your mother. We know your father. You think that you're better than Moses? You're just the son of Joseph." Jesus tried to explain to them, but nobody would listen. It was just too hard to understand, too hard to accept. Nobody could listen to what he said. After this, even many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. But a few stayed. A few kept listening. It didn't take long for a new crowd to form, and Jesus, there on the Mount of Olives, was teaching about the kingdom of God, about sin and forgiveness, about being born again and how we must abide with him in us, just like when we eat bread or drink wine and it abides inside of us. When all of a sudden, these scribes and these Pharisees drag this poor woman who had been caught in adultery and they place her in the midst of everyone, for everyone to see. They started accusing this woman before Jesus. They're yelling at Jesus, "This woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" This time, the Jews didn't leave. They just stood there looking at Jesus, waiting for an answer. What's amazing is that Jesus didn't leave either. He just started writing on the ground. Oh, that made them so mad. They continued to press him, to ask him, to argue with him. What do you say? You see this woman. She's an adulteress. Our testimony confirms it. There's no denying it. Moses told us to stone her. You think that you're greater than Moses. You, Jesus, had the audacity to say, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. Well, what do you say now, Jesus? Moses told us to stone her. Will you deny the law of God? Can't you see? We're the ones who are right here. We are the special children of God. It was then that Jesus said the most astounding thing. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And he just kept writing there on the ground, stunned, silent. No one said a thing. They just started dropping their stones on the ground, beginning with the older ones, until Jesus was left alone with the woman. There was still a crowd, this audience that was listening, who surrounded Jesus, amazed at what just had happened. Jesus stood up and he began to speak to her. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. From now on, go and sin no more. I try to put myself in the story. And I wonder, what would I have done if I had been there with Jesus that day on the Mount of Olives? What would I have done when that poor adulterous woman was dragged out of her bed before a crowd to stand trial? Would I have been among the crowd watching safely from a distance? Would I have thought, sure, this is a little uncomfortable to watch, but it is really dramatic. Let me see how this plays out. Would I have stayed there as a spectator off to the side, listening to the scribes, listening to the Pharisees, listening to Jesus, listening to the woman, listening intently, but then noticing it was getting late and remembering that I had much to do the next day, and so I began to gather my things in order to get home? Would I have remained unchanged, as many others were, because I never came face to face with the discomfort of my own sin? Would I have been among the Pharisees? Right in the middle of them, dragging a woman with one hand and clutching a stone with another. Would I have shouted at Jesus saying, don't you know who we are? Don't you know who I am? I have been righteous. I have kept the law. I've done all the right things since I was a child. I was chosen. I suffered, but I served. I understand how things go and how things are supposed to work around here. And she doesn't belong here. Would I have accused her? Worse, would I have waited to watch her trip up so that I could accuse her in front of others? Would I have seen that adulterous woman as totally different than me and felt fully justified in casting her away? Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. They've all gone away. Every one of them. Not one was left, but here I stand, holding this stone in my hand. We are all holding a stone. Every one of us. Can I let it go? Can I admit that I too am a sinner? I have to drop it. We have to drop it. We have to drop our stones. None of us are innocent. I am a sinner. We are all sinners. All of us stand condemned. What would I have done if I were there that day? Would I have walked away like the scribes and the Pharisees, confronted by my sin, but never dealing with it, never confessing it, never letting it out in the open so that Jesus could see it there in plain sight with no way to hide it? Will I keep on pretending, or will I allow the truth to pierce my heart and break it? Will I feel the tears welling up in my eyes as I come face to face with who I really am? Will I stay there in the presence of Jesus long enough to hear him say, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Will I stay there in the presence of the cross long enough to hear Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Will I stay at the cross long enough to hear Jesus say, "It is finished"? Will I stay there in the presence of Jesus throughout this Lenten season in order to hear him say to me and to all of you, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more"? Lord Jesus, it is our desire as your people to be confronted by you. Lord, we stand condemned. We are sinners. Each one of us, we drop that stone and we confess for all the world to see, "I'm a sinner." But Lord, help us to stick around long enough to receive not only the condemnation, but also the mercy. Help us to know, Lord, of the love that you show to us on the cross, and to feel the forgiveness and the healing and the life that comes to us only by grace. Help us to know that tonight and the days ahead. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.